Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
On today's episode, we'll be looking at the controversial topic of firing one's mother. Joining us today, we have Mary Cullen and Liam Barton. Hi, guys.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Now, despite the title of this podcast episode, I'm really not keen on the idea of ever firing my mother. She does a pretty good job of being my mother, and luckily I don't employ her. However, for a lot of family-run businesses out there, this question may well be one that they have considered before now. Mary, do you think that family businesses are likely to have more internal conflict than a non-family business?
Well, Sarah, just to start, to fire my mother is inconceivable. The idea would be horrifying, and I'm sure she'd just clip me around the ear and tell me to cop on fairly fast. But joking aside, family businesses can have conflict within them. And the potential for conflict is probably more likely in a family business than in a business that doesn't have the senior management team related. That being said, there are many family businesses that are, you know, extremely successful, where the family members have worked out all the various reporting issues and challenges that might exist and are very professional in their approach. But certainly at Insight HR, we come across quite a bit of conflict at the family level, whether that's between siblings, parents and their children, children and their parents, aunts and uncles, cousins, and the wider family being involved in the business. And sometimes you'll see in a family business that there are many family members involved in them, not just one or two. So you could have a whole range of people employed in the organization at different levels, from, you know, a junior level right the way through to senior management level. And sometimes those family tensions and normal family squabbles can spill over into the workplace and make other employees, non-family members, and also family members very uncomfortable at work.
Now, I'm just trying to imagine what it would be like to work with my brothers without us all killing each other. Liam, do you think it's actually possible for family members to have professional working relationships with each other and with other staff members without crossing boundaries?
I think it is, Sarah. I think it's more difficult. I would agree with what Mary has said. One of the key things that I've found, and we've come across various tensions and dynamics between family members where work is involved, I think establishing the boundaries is very, very important in terms of trying to separate what happens in the work environment to the family environment. I know of many organizations, family-run organizations, who have a strict rule that what goes at work is kept at work. So, you know, and I think that's a good rule of thumb, because I think we would all agree that the birthday party or the christening isn't really the most appropriate environment to be discussing the latest sales figures or any dynamics that are happening at work. So I think it's important that you set a few ground rules in terms of trying to separate what goes on at work to family life. I think it's very, very important that they establish ground rules in terms of performance goals, ensuring that people, whether they're a family member or not, perform to a certain level. I have assisted a number of organizations in this area, and I think one of the important things for them to establish is, are they going to be prepared to actually challenge underperformance? So that can be very, very tricky if you have a set of brothers or sisters or siblings, as Mary has alluded to. How do you sensitively and tactfully challenge underperformance? And certainly I would have given quite a lot of advice, and probably the advice mirrors how you would handle any underperformance at work. It's about having an open and honest conversation. It's about sitting down and establishing the ground rules and setting performance goals. And I certainly would have assisted organizations in the past who mightn't have brought the level of performance to the optimum or the level required, but certainly by having those conversations openly and honestly would have seen an improvement in performance levels. So my advice would be in this arena to certainly establish ground rules, try in as much as possible to separate what happens at work to the normal family, you know, social gatherings, and very much at the outset decide if you're going to set performance goals and challenge performance and behaviors at work. And if you're not, you know, come to a decision in relation to that, and not have a conversation where you discuss the faults of or potential perceived faults of one individual family member without actually having a robust, challenging discussion around it.
That's it. And I think it's one thing as well to discuss sales figures at a family birthday party, but then it's another thing to bring your family life into the actual working environment, especially when there's other employees there that you need to consider. Mary, what do you think about when it comes to the areas of discipline? Like, I imagine there's a whole load of things to consider. So do you have any kind of input on what you think management should do if a family member is not performing well?
Yeah, I mean, really, in reality, when you're working in a family business, you're still an employee. And, you know, if you're talking about disciplining somebody, then you're actually following your policy and procedures in the same way that you would follow with any other employee. Now, what makes it complicated is the family relationship. But again, like any other disciplinary process, you would start at an informal level with, you know, a discussion about the areas of performance that you're concerned about. If there is no improvement after a small number of discussions, maybe three informal discussions, then you might start talking to somebody about a performance improvement plan. If after a performance improvement plan, there is no improvement, then you would look at discipline as a means of bringing about the required behavior or performance change. That being said, if you're talking about directors, who don't really answer to anybody and don't have a direct line manager, who own a business, then it can become more complicated and contentious. And in trying to address those issues, I guess you're coming at it from a different point of view. And certainly I have been involved in facilitated meetings between family members trying to deal with various issues that have arisen for them within their businesses. They're not easy. And, you know, sometimes you are looking at the exit of one person from the business or a family member from the business because it no longer works. And they're difficult, contentious, awkward discussions for family members to have with each other. And unfortunately, there is every possibility that it can spill out into the wider family, and the wider family then becoming involved or ostracizing or shunning people because there's been a breakdown in the working relationship. So I think it's very important from a family perspective, if you're running a business, that you're very much focused right at the earliest stages in having clear agreements with people about how the business will be run, what roles people play, have clear contracts of employment, job descriptions, shareholder agreements, board meetings, formal structures in place as you would have in any other business.
And let's just say that the advice doesn't seem to be getting through. I imagine that those are very difficult conversations to have. Liam, do you think that firing a family member would be more complicated than firing an employee who's not a family member?
I think it would. I have assisted one organization in this regard, and it was eventually done by way of a waiver and legal agreement. And what I would say, Sarah, is building on Mary's point, is in my experience, it becomes very emotive. It becomes very emotional. I think as the HR advisor, what you're trying to do is navigate things back to the employment relationship. So in my experience in that scenario, it became very emotive about, you know, what had gone on in the family dynamic, you know, who had made dinner for what relation had gone to what part of the world, what support they had gotten. And, you know, you're very much trying to bring it back to, well, look, this is certainly about the family relationship, but why I am involved is to assist with regard to the employment relationship. And that's my sole focus. So I try to bring back things to the employment relationship and try and bring a level of objectivity and impartiality so that I'm not getting myself involved in the bullets that are firing between the family members, but very much bringing it back to the employment relationship. And at the end of the day, whether it's a family member or not, there is an employment relationship. And then if one member or one director has had conversations informally with a fellow family member who's also a staff member regarding improvements to their performance, if that hasn't achieved the desired result, well, then, as Mary has alluded to, you are down to a performance management intervention via a performance improvement plan or a disciplinary process where you go through warnings. Very often at that stage, my advice is, well, look, however emotive or difficult it is now, imagine if you're writing out issuing warnings and taking things down a disciplinary route, it's going to become very, very difficult. So sometimes at that stage, we would engage an employment law solicitor on behalf of the organization, and there would be potentially a compromise waiver and agreement implemented. And that's so that one or other of the family members can separate from the business on an agreed basis. And there's a legal agreement done which protects the family member and the organization. But it is more complex because there is a family relationship involved. So it is not as simple as simply an employee-employer relationship in the normal course of events.
And like, what would happen if that family member wasn't actually an employee, but a fellow director in the company? I mean, I can imagine then that the conflict gets even more complex.
Absolutely. It becomes very, very unwieldy then. And particularly where you have shareholdings involved, where you have advisors who are advising, and not really, Sarah, unfortunately, professional advisors. So that's when objectivity goes out the window, which unfortunately in matters of this nature it can, that's when it becomes very, very difficult. And very often businesses are affected. Employments, people employed within the organization are collateral damage because there's a war between fellow directors and fellow family members. So really, my advice at that stage is very much that some sort of independent or impartial mediator is needed to try and just bring some level of objectivity and calm to the situation. But you're absolutely right. It can get very, very difficult and very emotive, so that very, very irrational, very, very rational, intelligent people can hardly see the wood for the trees. And it becomes very, very hard to have a sensible, rational conversation because calmness and objectivity has really gone out the window.
Yeah, and I can really understand that point because, you know, sometimes in family businesses, you're at meetings and, you know, even with professional people like myself in the room, it can descend into an argument, and an open argument that is more like an argument you might have with your husband or your wife or your partner or your children than ever you would have in the workplace. And so, you know, for even the advisors who are trying to help people navigate those disputes and disagreements, sometimes they are so emotive that people are so upset and distressed by what's happening at a family level, never mind what's happening at the work level, that it can really take its toll on individuals. And sometimes as well, you know, you're not even necessarily dealing just with an individual. You may be dealing with that person's family who are driving a different agenda too. And it can be a very, very difficult situation for the family as such to find themselves in. Those relationships are valuable. And I think for most people, certainly in my family, I really value the relationships with my parents and my siblings and my cousins, and I enjoy my interactions with them by and large. So if I was to think that, you know, a move that I was to make would cut me out of my family life, I think that would really be a very difficult decision to make. So in our experience, when there is conflict at the family level within a business, you know, a lot of support is required. A lot of help is required. And like Liam says, you need somebody who's objective, who's not emotionally involved, who can help you reach a resolution that doesn't destroy your family life. And you know, we that obviously would be our aim if we're involved at that level. But when you think about fighting at work, any fighting that happens at work, or any you know, unprofessional behavior or conduct at work, has an impact on the people around those individuals. So if there are two people having an open argument, or a screaming match, or someone is reduced to tears at a meeting, or you hear someone being regularly disrespected by somebody within the business, that has an impact not just on the individuals involved, but on the individuals who witness that. And we've also had to try and address situations where employees have raised issues about conflict that is interfering with their ability to get their job done.
That's very interesting, guys. That's about all we have time for today. So yeah, thanks for joining us to discuss this important topic. I'm not going to be firing my mother anytime soon, I don't think. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.